The book of Romans, chapter 13, and we resume our study in verse number 8. Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Verse 8 says, owe no man anything. Let's just stop there for a second. Christians should pay their bills. It's a sin if we don't, because this is a command from God. If we owe, then we should pay. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loves another hath fulfilled the law. One debt we can never pay in full is the debt of love. We always owe more love. We can never say, I have loved enough. I've met my quota. At least until next month. Or I love my wife, you know, quite a bit recently, so now I don't have to do it again until she returns the favor. We can't say, I'll love my neighbor when they earn it. They may never earn it, but God says they should have it. We owe it to them. We are indebted to other people to love them. And that means do what is in their best interest. It doesn't have anything to do with feelings. Verse 9, for this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. If we love others as much as we love ourselves, then we won't hurt them. We will not sin against them. See, the reason we try to please ourselves is because we love ourselves. And that's why if we focus on the command to love our neighbors as ourselves, all the other commandments will fall into place. 10. Love works no ill to its neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. If we act in love the way God defines it in His Word, then we can be sure that we're keeping the rest of the commandments that relate to other people. If we love someone, then we won't harm them. If we love someone, we won't be mean to them. If we love someone, we won't commit adultery on them. If we love someone, we won't steal from them. If we love someone, we won't cheat them. If we love someone, we won't ignore them and their needs. If we love someone, then we're going to be kind to them. If we love someone, then we're going to be good to them. If we love someone, then we will do whatever we can do to help them in their walk with Jesus. If we love someone, then we will want to spend time with them. If we love someone, we're going to do what we can to make them feel secure in that love. See, it covers everything. Verse 11, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. We're all closer to being face to face with Jesus than we were when we first became Christians. And reverting back to the previous verse, love others as much as you love yourself, because you are moving quickly toward the moment when you're going to stand face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ. Make the most out of every second that you have to live for Jesus, because the seconds go by quickly. Verse 12. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. In other words, stop sinning and get on fire for Jesus, because this life is almost done. I don't care if you have another 80 years to live, that's nothing compared to eternity. And the fact is, no one knows if they will live another 50 years, another 80 years, or another 50 seconds. So live like today's your last day, because Jesus deserves that type of commitment, and also because it might be your last day. 5:13. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in reveling and drunkenness, not in immorality and wantonness, not in strife and envying. More than anyone, Christians should be decent people. There are common sense standards of decency, and no Christian should violate them because we're supposed to be representatives of the one true God. It really doesn't have anything to do with doctrine. It's just common decency. 14, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. Don't make provision for the flesh. In other words, the moment we start thinking about sin, we should redirect our thoughts. Don't think about sin. Don't think about how to carry out sin. When you start thinking about it, redirect your mind and start thinking about how not to sin. Because the longer we think about doing wrong, the more powerful the temptation becomes. Chapter 14, verse 1. Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. Or, in other words, not for disputes concerning doubtful things. God is saying, don't give someone a hard time if their convictions about gray areas in the Bible are different than yours. Let people be themselves in the Lord. Draw the line if someone condones something that's clearly unscriptural, but otherwise just respectfully disagree with them, because there is room for disagreement among Christians in gray areas of Scripture. I know some people don't believe that, because some people would say there are no gray areas. Even though the Bible isn't clear on this, what I believe is true. And if you don't believe exactly the way I believe about everything, I'm not going to have fellowship with you. You know, let them go their way. They'll do you more harm than good anyway. Verse 2, for one believes that he may eat all things. Another, who is weak, eats herbs or vegetables. Well-meaning Christians can have honest disagreements about certain things, including food, and that's okay with God. 3, he really doesn't care. Let not him that eats despise him that eats not, and let not him who eats not judge him that eats, for God has received him. Don't play God with your fellow Christians, okay? If God's word doesn't prohibit something, then we shouldn't judge someone for doing it. For example, again, God doesn't care about diet. So don't judge someone who has different convictions than you when it comes to food. Verse 4, who art thou that judges another man's servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Yea, he shall be held up, for God is able to make him stand. God is the judge, not man. We are God's servants. And on judgment day, he will tell us the things that we did right and the things that we did wrong. We are not capable of judging another servant of God in areas where Scripture is silent, so we should just leave it alone. 5. One man esteems one day above another, another esteems every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. If a Christian wants to observe special holy days, that's fine. If they don't, that's fine as well. Again, in these gray areas, God wants us to do what we believe is right and allow others to do what they believe is right. And just get along with each other. Just accept that there are differences of opinions in these areas. Verse 6, he that regards the day regards it unto the Lord, and he that regards not the day, to the Lord he does not regard it. He that eats, eats to the Lord, for he gives God thanks, and he that eats not, to the Lord he eats not, and gives God thanks. Whatever a Christian decides to do in these gray areas should be what they honestly think will best honor the Lord Jesus Christ. 7. For none of us lives to himself, and no man dies to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. In other words, our duty is to try to please Jesus. We are the Lord's. Now, if we can please our fellow Christian in the process, that's wonderful. But if not, then we still must do what we believe will be most honoring to Christ. There needs to be grace among Christians, grace to allow each other to be led by Christ in our own unique way, without judging one another. Verse 9. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. Jesus is Lord, and no one else. Until someone else manages to live a sinless life like Jesus did, die like Jesus did, and then be raised from the dead 3 days later like Jesus did, until you are able to do that, you need to let Jesus be the Lord of your fellow Christians and not try to do that job yourself. 10. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? Means to have contempt for them. For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. God alone knows everything that we do, everything that we were trying to do. He knows why we did it and what we're trying to do that didn't turn out right. And we should never presume to know what's going on inside the mind of another Christian. That's God's business, and he will pass judgment when the time is right. Verse 11, for it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. It's not a question of, will you bow down before Jesus? It's only a question of when. Christians bow before Jesus today, but those who reject Christ as Savior will bow before him on Resurrection Day and admit that he is Lord. In other words, immediately before they are sent to hell, condemned souls will give their Creator the respect that he deserves. Verse 12, so then, every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Every one of us should spend more time making sure that we are doing right in the eyes of God instead of playing the judge concerning our fellow Christians. We ought to be concerned about ourselves and our walk with the Lord. And that's where our focus should be. Because it's like the Bible says here, every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Don't go running around judging your fellow Christian in these gray areas of life, scripturally gray areas, because you're not the judge. They're going to stand before God and they're going to give an account. Now, again, if somebody is doing something that is clearly unscriptural, well, then we are supposed to point it out. You know, if somebody says that Jesus isn't Lord, point it out. If someone says that Jesus isn't coming back again, point it out. Take a stand. If someone says that Jesus didn't die for your sins, take a stand, because those areas are crystal clear.